Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer joins us now. Hi, Comptroller. Welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be back on the show.
And I'm just going to start with the obvious, even if it sounds like a bottom-feeding question, because a lot of people in New York hear your name and they want to know, are you considering running for mayor this year, and should we take all the answers to any other questions in that context?
I think it's safe to assume that I will continue to be doing the job that I truly love, which is serving as controller. I believe that there's a real role in the city for somebody who calls it as he sees it, somebody who really has built the people's office, meaning that we're really helping the children of the city, and we are putting a progressive agenda forward with accountability and with real ideas for New York, and I hope to be able to continue in this role.
Does that mean you're ruling out a mayoral run this year?
Listen, this is where I'm at, and I think that people have to understand that this office is vital to the city. We hold City Hall accountable. We don't back down. I'm not afraid of the fight, but there's a lot of issues that the controller's office deals with, the fiscal health of the city, making sure that we move the homeless agenda so that we can help people in the city, looking at NYCHA in a critical way to build it back for the people who are struggling in our city, even in a place of great wealth. There's a whole underpinning of people who are truly suffering, and my job is to make sure that the people who don't have a voice at City Hall have that voice, and I'm very proud of the work our office is doing.
But just to be crystal clear, that answer is in the present tense. You are not ruling out a run for mayor this year, potentially.
I am running for the job that I have today, and that is where things stand, and I'm very happy to serve as city controller. As I mentioned, this is the people's office. We make sure that we fight very hard every day for the folks who have no voice.
On fighting for the issues, this for the people around the issues, this became the subject of a criticism of you by the mayor on this program on Friday, and I'm going to play the clip. Obviously, you know you've been trading digs over the contract with the vendor that the city had for body cameras for police officers, which you blocked, and the contract is under review by the city. I asked the mayor about it on the show last week, and he was not too pleased. I'm going to play a minute of his answer, and I want you to listen to the first part, in particular about what he says your proper role is.
I'm going to use a legal term, Brian. That was a cheap stunt by the comptroller, and he had to retreat from it very quickly. The role of comptroller is if there's a specific problem with a contract procedurally, they can weigh in there. They cannot weigh in on the larger policy matters. That is a decision that the executive branch, NYPD, City Hall have to make. And also, as I've said, this is about the competitor company that didn't get the contract trying to create all sorts of ways to undermine the one that did win the contract. NYPD has had an extraordinary record of choosing good technology lately, the ShotSpotter and the iPhones and all the things they're doing that are having a huge impact. Body cameras will be on all our patrol officers by the end of 2019. It's going to go from 1,000 this year, 5,000 by the middle of next year. The entire patrol force, I believe that's about 13,000 officers by the end of 2019. This contract's moving forward. We have the legal authority to move it forward. If any agency like DOI wants to look at the situation, that's fine. That's their choice. But it does not stop us from moving forward a contract that everything we know about says it's the right thing to do.
Mayor de Blasio here last Friday, Comptroller Scott Stringer here now, and obviously he said a lot in that clip, but near the beginning, when he accused you of meddling in policy matters, which he says is not your job as controller, what do you say to that?
Well, let me first say that I am very committed to making sure that we have body cameras in this city. I actually think it's pretty shocking that the mayor basically slept through the first couple of years and didn't put a body camera program in place quick enough so that the body cameras could actually be used today. We are behind six other major cities when it comes to body cameras. So when the mayor talks about politics and politics, put all that aside. I'm the city's watchdog. So when I see a contract come into my office and the NYPD says to me, there's an open DOI investigation, what's the first thing I do? I just send the contract back saying, please give more detail because my charter authority is to root out fraud. And the mayor, who has experience, a lot of experience with investigations, should know that you answer these questions so that we are certain that the body camera program will go forward. I'm committed to it. It's a shame that the mayor can't come to terms with the fact that he was late on body cameras. That's why he's playing catch up. He's very focused on his election, his re-election, whatever he's going to run for. And I just don't have to deal with that. I have to deal with making sure that programs work. And that's sometimes our battle with City Hall.
So what's the status of that particular contract right now? The mayor said in that clip that DOI wants to look at the situation. That's fine, Department of Investigation. But it doesn't stop us, he said, from moving forward a contract that everything we know about says it's the right thing to do. So is it stuck? Do you have the power to block it from going forward? Or what's the actual status?
All we asked before we signed the contract is the status of an open DOI investigation. That's all we did. He certainly has the right to register it. He wanted to register it. I guess it's to take credit for it. Good for him. Let's just get the body cameras out in the streets.
So there's nothing you're doing that would block that contract from going forward.
He said
you backed off it.
Listen, he wants to have a win. Give him a win. He's had a rough couple of months.
Listeners, your calls for New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer on any city issue in the purview of the Comptroller, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Another thing that you criticized the mayor on was his proposal in the State of the City address to create 100,000 well-paying middle-class jobs over the next 10 years. It was definitely light on specifics, and I see you called it an empty promise. Do you see a way to make it work within the city's budget, potentially?
Look, I'm happy the mayor is prioritizing creating good-paying jobs. It's something I've been focusing on for years. But the mayor's jobs plan is a bit light on an actual plan. And my office is ready to review a plan when one comes out, but right now it's just talk. And I just want to say to viewers, wanting to create 100,000 jobs over 10 years is great, but on average, over the last 6 years, the city's created 90,000 jobs per year, and half of them paid over $50,000 a year. So a jobs plan that only creates 100,000 over 10 years is not a bold initiative that this city needs. What we really need to do is come up with a jobs plan that speaks to hundreds of thousands of jobs. And the best way to lift people out of poverty is to invest in women and minority-owned businesses so that we can create wealth in all of our communities. The mayor spends $15.3 billion on procurement, buying paper clips, paper, computers, making sure that we hire law firms and accounting firms. But of that $15 billion spent, only 4.8% goes to women and minority-owned businesses. That's outrageous. The state is at 30%. So I've urged the mayor and City Hall to move on this. Let's up the spend. Let's create programs. Let's hire the city's first chief diversity officer. And let's try to really create economic opportunity in neighborhoods that are struggling. We have to give people a fighting chance to make it in this city. And the way we do that is to create wealth opportunities so that people are not stuck in low-wage jobs. Part of what I said yesterday about the budget was that our economy is strong, but the jobs that we're creating are low-wage jobs. And that's why you see a surge, one of the reasons why you see a surge in the homeless population.
And that's exactly what the mayor was addressing by trying to create 100,000 well-paying middle-class jobs over the next 10 years. Do you and the mayor agree, then, that it's the role of city government? It's something the city government can do rather than just get out of the way more for the private sector to create middle-class jobs?
Look, I think there's a real role for the city to help create jobs. As I mentioned, investing in women and minority-owned businesses will create jobs and entrepreneurial opportunity for struggling New Yorkers. And so, of course, there's a role. But yeah, if you're going to put forth a plan, release paper, target how we're actually going to do this, what's the timeline, give us a transparent way to measure success. And I think empty promises in 2017 don't really mean a lot to somebody who's struggling in Queens or Brooklyn, trying to pay the rent, raise kids, raise a family. People are not fooled. They need to have specifics. That's how you give people hope, saying this is what's coming. And when you think about affordable housing and you think about low-wage job creation, we need a bigger plan. Yes, involve the private sector. Bring in the best and the brightest in city government. And when you announce 100,000 jobs, announce a plan that goes with it.
Ben in Crown Heights. You're on WNYC with Controller Scott Stringer. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I was calling to see if Scott Stringer would follow Seattle's example in divesting from Wells Fargo, but possibly going farther, because Seattle doesn't necessarily have a bank to invest in right now. And I guess the point is that we have $160 billion that you manage, and you divesting from a number of different banks would actually create a market for a real bank to do some decent work and not just fund the Dakota Access Pipeline and these horrible things. And so what do you want to do about that?
Right. And are you looking closely at Seattle's decision to divest from Wells Fargo?
We are definitely looking at the Seattle decision. We are looking at it. We're also looking at laws in New York that could be an obstacle. We're definitely on the case. You know, I just announced a carbon footprint analysis that the Comptroller's Office is going to do for the first time, examining our holdings, which is a way of finally zeroing in on some of these issues. As many people know, I was one of the statewide leaders in the anti-fracking campaign, so I understand that we have a lot more work to do, and we're going to continue this this path.
What's the limitation? People might be interested in hearing the big picture. I know it's something we talked about when you were running for controller. How does the city use its investments to make social policy statements, to do social investments, to have standards for what it won't invest in as well as what it prefers to invest in? And where does the Wells Fargo question fit in the scheme of that?
Well, it's just another way that we can do social good. Where the rubber meets the road is we also are a fiduciary to the pension fund, which my first priority has to be maintaining that fund for the teachers, the firefighters, the police officers, the city workers. We have to hit an actuarial target of 7% so that we can protect the retirement security of 715,000 people. But when I became controller, we realized that social justice is also good for returns. And that's why we established the Boardroom Accountability Campaign. We worked with public pension funds around the country fighting for more board diversity, because that means better returns. Many of our big corporations in this country are too male and too pale, too stale, and we don't have people of color and women on boards. I have led this fight in the United States with our incredible trustees. And we will look at these environmental climate change options and what we can do. The trustees are very excited to have this conversation. And, you know, people have to remember that I am not the sole trustee. So any decision I make is with the unions whose money is invested in the pension fund.
But am I wrong that there are some things the city pension fund trustees have already decided that you won't invest in? Tobacco products, or
yes.
Is there a list?
Yeah, the tobacco products. Look, since I've been controller, we divested from coal. I mean, that was a major divestment. It certainly sent a signal to where the heart of the pension fund is. We've divested from gun manufacturers. So we have done a lot in this space, and we're going to continue to do more.
Mamadou in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Mamadou.
Yes, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Glad you're in. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Brian, I think the mayor doing well. And I think Scott, I love him. I vote for him all the time. But I think as a Democrat, we have to be unified and to be behind the mayor and see what is not good and trying to help and trying to win the next election, but not to be dividing and somebody else coming and take it from us. What they're talking about, the homelessness, nobody can solve the problem of the homelessness. No one. without, first thing, there's a lot of things to go with that. Even the federal government, without his help and his policy, that will always going to be here. So I don't want to hear that politics. Let's talk what is real. What is real as a Democrat, let's unify to be one behind the man and help him out.
Mamadou, thank you very much. Let me get a response for you from the controller, and please call us again. Don't make this be the last call. Controller Stringer, he doesn't like your tone, I don't think.
Well, I want to thank him for continuing to support me, as he said. But look, the idea that we have a government where there is give and take and debate, even among Democrats, is very powerful. We Democrats have to have ways to communicate and make government policy that's workable, and that's about having a lot of opinions in the room. The charter says that I have to be a counterweight, and look, I know it ruffles feathers, and I know powerful people would rather have me, you know, do less audits and hold City Hall accountable, but I can't do that.
I think he hears a tone. Like, when you hear the mayor's State of the City proposal for 100,000 middle-class jobs, clearly there were no specifics that were announced. We analyzed it that way on this show, and I think all the media did. But you can go on as you did and say it's an empty promise, or you could go on and say, that is something the city could really use. I'm looking forward to hearing the details in his further budgets.
And your point in all that?
Well, I'm just asking you about.
Listen,
it sounds like trying to tear him down rather than trying to encourage, look forward to the specifics, which obviously will have to come.
We're at my budget presentation yesterday, and you looked at what our analysis was about, you would see that we said a lot of good things about the budget and City Hall. Every year I go with the mayor to the rating agencies, with the mayor to Albany, and we work together to make sure that the city's interests are protected. But when I see a lack of a plan, I'm obligated to say something. But I will try to be nicer.
Const in the Bronx. You're on WNYC with Controller Scott Stringer. Hello, Const.
Hey, thank you to both. Stringer was in the news back in 2014 with what was quoted as losing the rat race in New York. And the last few days, we know that near Grand Concourse, we've had a couple illnesses and a death from rat urine, the bacterial infection. And I have to say, I have spent years since Bill de Blasio was public advocate, reaching out to every corner of City Hall, including your community action supervisor, Ingrid Sotelo, your chief of staff, onward toward the most recent, that was in 2014. In 2016, the director of constituent services in the borough president, Ruben Diaz's office, with respect to the firewall, as it were, between sanitation, which is terrific, which I've commended in writing to the mayor, that can ticket any business or residence and cannot intervene with the NYCHA building residents who throw garbage on the street at my corner, Concord and East 152, where every other building mix of old-time businesses and new residentials, very nicely integrated and lifting the community. And the rats are terrific engineers, surviving and migrating, certainly to my building, where there were 20 running under my window for the winter.
And, let the controller respond. Go ahead.
I think it'd be good to talk online to get the specifics of your complaint so I can hear it directly, and I will try to work on it.
Is it something you can have an impact on through an audit? I know, your job is circumscribed in certain ways as controller, but it's an issue, she points out, that you've commented in the past. What can you do? Is there anything you can do? We've been reporting this, obviously, in our news, this horrible problem with the rats.
I have done a lot of rat audits. I mean, you just I mean, when I go home at night, the rats are literally standing tall, like welcoming me as I get to my door. So there is
Where do you live?
On the Upper West Side. So there's a definite there are definite rats. We've looked at the MTA and tracked dirt and the rats running on the platform. So I am very sensitive to this. It really does cause health issues. We saw it in the tragedy on the concourse, and I will be happy to help with her specific concerns. But yes, we have done audits. We continue to monitor, and we work with agencies, and we work with the various agencies. I did that when I was Manhattan Borough President, and I'll continue to do it today. People don't want to see rats in their garbage. They don't want to see rats in their buildings, and they're not appropriate to be running around where kids are, where seniors are, and everybody.
Const, if you're willing, we'll take your contact information.
Thank you.
Off the air, and we'll pass it along to see if the controller's office or anybody else in the city can deal with the issue that you point out. You were very specific in a location, so that's really helpful. Thank you. Noreen on the Upper West Side in the controller's neighborhood. You're on WNYC. Hi, Noreen. Noreen, you there? Noreen once, Noreen twice. Well, I see her question from from being screened, and it says, what's the status of the city bike program? Will the city fund expansion? Do you have an opinion?
Well, I think the city bike program is amazing, terrific. I think we could look to see that expansion, and obviously I think it's going to be one of the budget priorities. You know, I don't do funding, but I do support the city bike program.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, the elephant in the country, the Trump administration. And you've spoken about the potential financial impact as controller of President Trump on New York City as more than just the potential loss of federal funds if he tries to punish us for Sanctuary City. What are your numbers and why?
So we did a Trump federal funding analysis because with a Republican Congress and Trump as president, I believe that we are in some fiscal danger here. And so we get about $7 billion in federal aid. A lot of the funding I'm worried about are the funding that supports our safety net. But here are some facts. We could lose $436 million in Section 8 housing that keeps 39,000 New Yorkers in their homes. We could lose $197 million in grants for SNAP, that's food stamps. School lunches, $302 million. That funds free and low-price school lunches, the public assistance grants. I mean, this could have a horrible impact on struggling New Yorkers, on children, on families. And the reason I put this analysis out is we have to have a rallying cry to recognize that our city could really get hurt here. In terms of Sanctuary City funding, we could lose up to $165 million. And so part of what I'm doing as controller is making sure that people get the information they need so that we can wage the fight. Also, we released an immigration report for the city because, contrary to Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric, immigrants make great contributions to our economy. And nowhere is more true that that's more true than in New York City. So our analysis is showing extraordinary impact immigrants have on our economy. You know, New York, we have to remind ourselves, is 3.3 million immigrants from 150 countries. And immigrants in the city earn $100 billion and pay billions in taxes. They make up half of our city workforce and half for small businesses. So when Trump denigrates immigrants and refugees, he is absolutely going against the great tradition of this country, which says you come from all over the world to come here and make it here. And that has been the backbone of the economy of this country and certainly of our city. And we have got to tell that story. And we have to protect our immigrants and our refugees because everybody comes from somewhere. And everyone's family had a hard time getting here. And we have to make sure that we continue this tradition and fight through it. The good news is that Trump seems to be helping us because obviously his appointees and his conduct in his first month as president, very hard to imagine this guy can stay in office with this conduct for very long.
Well, he certainly weakened himself politically, but that's vis-a-vis the Republican Congress, which might be as anxious to penalize New York City for being a sanctuary city as the president himself is. Do we need to have in the city budget certain contingencies that are certain numbers?
Well, part of what I've said is that we definitely have to put more money aside in this budget. We definitely have to look at agency efficiencies. This is the hard work that has to go into the budget process. We've got to scrub the agencies to see where we can save money and put it aside so that if there are the kind of cuts that we're worried about, we're going to be able to get us through this. We now have about $8.5 billion in reserve. That is good, but it's not enough. We need a budget cushion that will prepare for the Trump presidency, the Republican Congress, or any other disaster that may come our way.
A listener on Twitter asks, have you shared your analysis about fiscal dangers with Congressman Donovan, who's the only Republican, as you know, Dan Donovan from Staten Island and a little bit of Brooklyn, only Republican in the New York City delegation. Have you? Do you happen to have spoken to him? I'm not sure that's your job, but have you spoken to him about being a Republican who speaks up for the city to a Republican Congress to protect us from fiscal damage?
You know, we are presenting our funding analysis, you know, all over the city, and I will definitely make sure that Congressman Donovan has it. I haven't spoken to him directly.
All right. Let me come back to one NYPD item. In addition to the one we spoke about before, to finish up, the Daily News reported this week that over $390 million in the NYPD's budget, about 8% of the total budget, is going to vendors that are not named. And I see you've written a letter asking for the information to be made public, according to the Daily News. Why is it hidden in the first place? What have you learned? Why is that worrying?
So there is $300 million that's not showing up on our checkbook transparent site, which shows contracts that people can look at, and there's definitely a block for some of the information. Now, my sense is that there are security issues that you don't want to put out there, but we want to go through the $300 million and find out what is, you know, high-level security and what should be transparent. So we are actually, you know, I sent a letter. We are going to be meeting with the NYPD. We've agreed to sit down. The police commissioner has indicated that he is ready to have that review. So I think that's a positive step. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that when we meet, we'll be able to separate what is absolute security and what should be available to the public.
Is it an unusual number, 8% of the budget going to vendors that are not named?
Let me have the meeting first, and then, you know, certainly come back and talk about it. But we're just in the process of sitting down with the NYPD, so I don't have any, you know, knowledge except an opinion, which I'll keep to myself pending the meeting.
Okay, and we have to leave it there. My guest has been New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer. Always appreciate it. Keep coming back on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.